One of the things that amazes me with regard to the scripture is that the more you see of it, the more you comprehend it, the greater it becomes. And I don't know if you recognize the scripture there that Tim chose. You see in that scripture the various things that Daniel was talking about hundreds, thousands of years ago. And it certainly adds credence as you understand more and more. You begin to pick up on these things that before you never really noticed until you got a better understanding of what God's Word is about. So this today is our 16th week in the study of the book of Daniel. And it will be our last, at least in this section, this session, the last in Daniel. We have reached the epilogue in chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. I want to take a little bit of time to go back and review a little bit of what we've traversed through here in the last 16 weeks. It might be a little bit hard to just hit on the high spots because there's so much with this scripture that we have here in the book of Daniel. First, I would point out that we have seen that the book never deviates from the two great themes of the prophecy. Those two great themes are Israel and Jerusalem, and then second, the kingdom of Christ and his second coming, occupied with a period when Israel is set aside as God's chosen people. A time when dominion over the earth is held by Gentile power. Referred to as in Daniel, the time of the Gentiles. And we learned that part of the book is in Hebrew, part of the book is in Aramaic, and the reason for that is because of the character of the languages, the Hebrew language and the Aramaic language. It's interesting to point out that Christ, when he was brought before Caiaphas, even mentions Daniel, and that's documented in history. So that adds credence to the book, that Christ himself made reference to what Daniel wrote when he was here, when Christ was here on earth. We learned last week, I think, from Daniel, the angel Michael means who is like God. He brought a great deal of information to us through this book of Daniel and through Daniel himself. But whatever the case may be, it's quite evident in the book that Israel's dominion is leaving them and being replaced by Gentiles. If you remember the siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, it took 12 years for him to take the city of Jerusalem. During that time, some of those that were there, like Daniel, for example, were taken captive. But it wasn't until 8 years later that they were able to break through the walls and take the city totally. So it's a long siege on that city. Daniel, as a result, was in Babylon as a slave from his youth at the age of 16 or 17, And as we saw, he was in a position of authority as a result of his help for King Nebuchadnezzar. He, by the grace of God, was able to reveal and interpret the dreams of the king. These dreams gave us tremendous insight into the history and what shall be the end times. If you remember those dreams, the great tree, which was a symbol of King Nebuchadnezzar's rise as king of Babylon, which controlled a huge part of civilization at that time, but yet it failed. He found himself out in the wilderness with the animals eating grass. We saw the image of the Gentile domination, which started with Nebuchadnezzar as king. He was the head of gold, and then that worked down through brass and eventually down to clay as symbols of the weakness of this Gentile domination that comes about. We saw the handwriting on the wall, which was mean Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom is numbered. It's numbered. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting, this Gentile domination. We saw in all the writings, all the events, the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den. We saw a series of confessions by the rulers of the day acknowledging the true God because of these marvelous things that God did through these people that were captive there in Babylon. A foreshadowing, if you will, of Romans 14:11, saying every knee and every tongue will confess that he is God. And as a result of the fiery furnace and Daniel in the lion's den, all of these rulers did confess, your God is a real God. And they even commanded that they worship him. That's a foreshadowing of what is yet to come that Daniel is prophesying about. The book illustrates for us that it makes no difference if you have an autocracy, a monarchy, a republic, or a democracy. All are corrupt and powerless before him. If you remember, in the first six chapters, we were looking more at history, and then as once we got up to into the seventh chapter, we begin to see Daniel prophesy over the next few chapters. What Daniel saw in that prophecy that God revealed to him left him prostrate and sick. And what it was the tribulation against his people at the time of the end that he saw that it was going to be so terrible and made him sick to his stomach. And most of his life, he learns how long his captivity will last from reading Jeremiah. He got a copy for somehow, I don't know how he got a copy of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, as is somewhat often the case, he's talking about the same thing that Daniel's talking about that's going to happen thousands of years later. Reading Jeremiah, he finds that there's to be 70 years of his servitude. And if you remember, we saw three different periods of time in there of 70 years. The one was the servitude that Daniel was going to serve. He was going to be 70 years. The other 70-year period was the captivity, and of course the reason it's a different 70-year period is because it took them 12 years to actually take over Jerusalem. Can you imagine being at war that long? It's like the United States sometimes in Vietnam or whatever. Wars then lasted years. And of course, then the other 70-year period was the desolation. How long would the desolation of Jerusalem take before Nehemiah could go down there and rebuild the city? And of course, we've talked about that being Nehemiah went down and rebuilt the city. He took 43,000 men with him. Took a very short period of time to build the walls, 52 days to build the walls. But of course, it took a long time then before the temple was built, Solomon's temple. All of this trouble and that yet to come was and is a result of Israel's rebellion against God and his covenant with them. Eventually, in our study, we came to the prophecy of the timeline of the 70 weeks and the important principle in deciphering that which was the Loami period or not my people example. And it is the only way to understand the long delay in the fulfillment of this 70-week time. There was this time that we live in today, that during this time, the prophetic clock of Daniel's prophecy is on hold. And that's why it's been such a long period of time. The nation has been not considered his people as a nation during this period of time. However, the 70-week prophecy will be fulfilled, making Israel's final restoration and blessing a time after the Antichrist comes in the latter times and an end of warfare great. And with that, we saw two unparalleled events. One was a time of trouble greater than ever seen on the face of the earth or ever will be. That's what made Daniel sick and prostrate. And the other was the resurrection of dead. And we talked about the fact we're looking at the overcomers are going to rule and reign with Christ and others of the kingdom that are resurrected as well. But the one essential character of the book is Gentile domination over the nation of Israel and Jerusalem until Christ shall come, and that's where we stand today. The nation has been kicked around, beat up, and dispersed. We don't even know where they are. Who are the true Israelites? Lord knows. I don't know. All I know is there's a time when they're going to be flowing back to the nation. So with that, we reach the epilogue of chapter 12. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. The epilogue begins with verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Verse 4, the word translated run to and fro is the word shut. Actually, it's S-H-U-T. It's a Hebrew. It means to apostatize. It can also mean to go ravenly mad or to revolt. This is giving you a sense of this time that he's talking about, a time and a times and a half of that last half of that last week of Daniel's prophecy. The Septuagint says wickedness, therefore wickedness shall increase, raving madness shall increase. It's a time unlike any time on earth before or since, or ever will be. It's the pinnacle of problems and wickedness. What demands attention here is the double statement concerning the shutting up and the sealing of the book. Notice there in verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And then again in verse 9, the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, some think that these words refer to the official seal being set upon the book, guaranteeing it to be authentic. Another view is that the prophetic words found in Daniel are only to be fully understood in the light of the book of Revelation. And it's my opinion, I think that that is nearer to the truth. Because there in the book, sealed with seven seals, that is opened by Christ in Revelations chapter 5 and 6, which sets faith in the features of time of the end prophesied by Daniel and the Lord himself in Matthew 24. So I think probably this sealing is taking place until this is opened up by the Christ in. I want to read that, what Christ is speaking about. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This is another example of how Scripture supports Scripture. When you don't understand something, you better look around for other scripture that supports an idea one way or the other. Here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now this is Christ speaking. and giving credence to what Daniel prophesied through the angel Michael. Verse 16, then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So here Christ is conferring what Daniel, in fact, prophesied. And we just read here in the first chapter, or the 12th chapter of Daniel, what Christ was referring to. I think the closed and sealed book indicates that there's an interval that must be allowed, and that the prophetic visions of Daniel belong to the yet future rather than the time when grace is calling out a church from among Jew and Gentile. That's where we live today. That book is sealed during this period of time. And when it is opened, we're going to be right back to where Daniel left off. Now there's, in this chapter, there's a time period, if you notice. The time period of the closing section of this are, in my opinion, complicated. There are two periods here spoken of in verses 11 and 12. A period of time beyond the 70 weeks that Daniel prophesies. From Daniel's previous statement, the 70 weeks ends and deals with the destruction of the desolator when Antichrist comes. But for those who are saved and have been awaiting the glory of the Lord, there are two short periods of time mentioned here. One is the 1260 days, which we've talked about, and a 30-day addition to that, which makes 1290. And then in these last verses, he talks about another 75 days, which is 1,335 days. The first 30 days are mourning set aside for him that pierced Christ. It's a mourning of time like we see with Aaron in the Old Testament and Moses, whom they mourned for 30 days. You can read about it in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 and 14 with regard to Aaron. And then again, we can read about the mourning time in Numbers chapter 20 and in, for Moses, a mourning time of in Deuteronomy chapter 34. These periods of time of mourning, this additional 75 days, are probably occupied by the great voluntary returning of the dispersion from the Gentiles spoken of throughout Scripture. They're going to come back. The Lord calls them back. And during this period of time, that's what this extra 35 and 45 days are for the mourning to take place and for the return of these to the Holy Land. At this point, Daniel was done. But there seems to be some reluctance on his part. If you notice, the angel had to tell him twice in verse 9, said, Daniel, go thy way. And then again in verse 13, but go thy way. Daniel had some questions. Michael didn't tell him everything. He just said, seal the book and go thy way. And there in the last chapter, last verse of chapter 12, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest in what? Death. And stand in what? Resurrection. In thy lot, Bullinger says, the lot at the end of the days. So here Daniel sees that he will be resurrected at that time, but to rest in peace that passes understanding, to rest in the grave, to rest in the beloved, no matter what. And I think that lets us know where we stand today in a crooked and a perverse world. What this angel Michael was telling Daniel, that we can be sure and certain of the hope and the blessedness that comes with resurrection. Daniel has unfolded to us the Gentile domination from its inception to its destruction, indicated by the feet of clay and the 10 toes that we studied in this late vision of what is going to happen eventually at the end of the 70th weeks. And while this vision sweeps the centuries and comprehends the rise and fall of dynasties and nations, the attention is focused on the prophetic word of 490 years, and particularly of that last week. Today, the only possible solution of the troubles of Israel and of the earth is the coming of Israel's rejected king. Instead of civilization growing and developing, we find it will be smashed to pieces. And that, I think, we are beginning to see the beginning of in our own nation, in our own culture, with things that are frivolous, with the example of artificial intelligence. I even describe it sometimes as artificial ignorance, because it's what's fed into it that makes it intelligent. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care who determined it, if it's a machine or if it's man. Instead of faith and knowledge of him increasing in our culture, and increasing knowledge of righteousness covering the earth, we find what? Wickedness. Until it rivals the days of Noah. And how bad was that? Noah was the only righteous individual on the face of the earth, and he and his family. The Lord decided to do away and destroy it. We're reaching that point. You understand there's deception and gradualism? We are gradually setting aside righteousness and faith and knowledge of him until nobody will know anything about it. Instead of peace and safety, warfare great is what Daniel says. And there is, however, a day coming when it shall be said, and I want to read it to you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me point out again, here's another writer, didn't know Daniel. But we end up hearing the same thing over and over again in Scripture and referred to by many, many writers. So here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Hallelujah. We see the end of the book, and it points to the end of the age, and God is always fulfilling his promise, not only to the nation, but to us as well. This concludes our study of Daniel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, your love for the nation, your ability to forgive them, your ability to forgive us. We ask that you would continue to bless us in our understanding as we study to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, and that we might continue to be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.